On this show, we discuss how Lion King could rival Avengers money, how a hacker definitely wants to cry over WannaCry, and how there was a booster lost at sea. We'll also discuss how Google and Amazon are kissing and making up, and we'll do our last installment of recasting Fox. Well, last for now. This and more in this week's show.
I'm David S. Dawson from the Intellectual Podcast, a show that spotlights creatives from all walks of life. Part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredibly geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
This is the official GunnaGeek.com show. Here we're a bunch of geeks talking about geeky things. Each week, we run down the latest news and happenings in the world of geek. These are your hosts for the show, Steven.
But what if I'm in the mood for a T-Swift story?
Chris.
I've heard the X is going to give it to you.
And SP.
That's how we roll on Gunna Geek on Monday night. We get crazy!
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Welcome to an all-new episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I am Steven, known as the good, and with me, of course, is Chris Farrell, known as the bad.
Yes, I am evil.
And I'm pleased to say that we also have with us the Wookiee, Stargate Pioneer. What is that, a dead Yoda? Like, come on.
Mark me not, you will, Stephen.
We are here with another edition of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you didn't know this, we actually usually record this live on Mondays. And for the next little while, until about the summertime, we're going to be recording it, generally speaking, a couple hours early. Yes, that's right. We usually record it at 8:45 p.m. Eastern time, but we'll be recording it 2 hours earlier, 6:45 p.m. Eastern. But occasionally we'll have weeks like this where we'll be able to go at the usual time with the usual full format. And that's what we got going on this week. So we're pleased to say we have the third and I think final installment of the recasting Fox saga that Chris Farrell started a while back. And for those of you that missed it 2 weeks ago, we had none other than John Bubb, aka Suncast from GFQ Network on, and he had some amazing picks, and he did submit some picks to us for this week that we'll go ahead and read out as we go through. We're looking forward to that. But before we get to the news, I want to mention to everybody, we're part of the Gunna Geek Network. If you've not checked out the Gunna Geek Network, you really should. The Gunna Geek Network has a bunch of amazing, amazing geeky content on it and some awesome podcasts. So if you want to go check that out, it's GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We hopefully have something to tickle your fancy. And if not, I heard that Chris Farrell will personally tickle your fancy.
Sure, why not? If it gets clicks, why not? I'll do it.
I think we know what quote Chris Farrell's going to have on the next intro. Pretty sure we know all about which one that's going to be.
I have no shame. Come on, I've been doing this stuff for what, 7 years almost? I have no shame left.
Yeah, that's true. You are pretty shameless. But moving on to the actual news here, you wanted to talk a little bit about how the Lion King, well, maybe we should just say how it feels good to be Lion King.
No. I'm afraid you're going to break out in a song and dance, so I'm just not going to allow it.
Oh, just can't. I'm not going to sing that because Disney.
Our YouTube strikes. Thank you.
Yes, that's true. Go ahead.
So we all know this is shaping up to be a big 4 months for Walt Disney Company because they've got some big movies coming out. You guys might have heard of a little indie flick called Avengers Endgame that comes out this week as we record it. They also have the live action adaptation of Aladdin, Toy Story 4, and of course the live action slash realistic CGI animation Lion King coming out this summer. 4 months of some crazy Disney box office numbers, presumably. And there is some thought coming that from exhibitor relation company senior analyst Jeff Bock, that The Lion King, while it may not beat Endgame, could give some stiff competition to the flick. This is the only thing that can touch it in terms of worldwide box office, according to Jeff Bock. I think it's interesting because, hey, this is playing in on a ton of nostalgia. Steven, you and I are roughly the same age. Mm-hmm. What's one of the Disney movies you remember watching a lot as a kid? I bet you it's Lion King.
Lion King, absolutely. 100% agree.
So what's Disney banking on? The fact that you loved that movie as a kid. Now you're a grown adult in most respects, I would argue. And now you probably want to share that love with your children. They've probably seen the animated version, but no, no, no. Now we have a live action version. We can all spend $15 each and go see it on the big screen as a family, and then buy Disney Plus and watch it on that as many times as we want when that comes out. So it's interesting to me that The Lion King is seen as being the biggest competition to Disney's Avengers Endgame this summer. What a terrible problem to have. You've got arguably one of the biggest movies of the year coming out, where they're projecting somewhere between $200 to $300 million opening weekend domestically. And its biggest competition is, oh yeah, a remake of one of our animated movies from 1994.
Okay, man. So I sense the sarcasm, but I just want to put it in perspective, Chris. This, like, just so you can actually feel the pain that Disney has. This would be like somebody
Please share it with me.
Somebody walking up to you and say, I want to give you $1,000 to your left hand, and then on the other hand going, I'd like to give you $1,200 to your right hand. That's just so much to juggle in both of your hands. Like, feel the sympathy for them, Chris Farrell.
You know how you solve that problem? Instead of juggling, you put both hands in your pockets with the money. And then you have nothing to juggle, and you put both hands back out and say, give me more money for the entertainment I'm providing you. And these other two movies, Toy Story 4, which is probably going to make bank, and Aladdin, which, who knows? Again, there's a nostalgia play in effect here, because Aladdin is another Disney movie from my childhood coming out again.
Well, I guess, but I don't know. I'm feeling bad for Disney here. All that money coming their way, it's horrible for them. It's terrible. And then having two major properties to be able to enhance their offerings on the Disney Plus streaming service. Oh, somebody really should give them a hug. That was sarcasm.
Yeah. Bob Iger a hug, or like Walt Disney's mouse, Mickey? Which one are we hugging, or both?
I was going to say Walt Disney, but...
Well, he is frozen in the basement of Walt Disneyland or World. I can't remember which one. And he will be brought back to life to help with God knows what.
Stargate Pioneer, you've watched a couple of these Disney movies, not Marvel, Disney movies, right? I didn't say Lucasfilm. I said Disney.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
Will you watch this? Because you're actually, like Chris Farrell brought up earlier, that Chris and I are about the same age. You are a year or two older than us. Do you have any interest in this?
The Lion King animation was pretty good. And everybody knows Simba and the whole story. If I go back to that era of movies, the biggest two for me would be The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And Aladdin was, animation was not good at all in comparison to everything else. The Lion King had awesome animation. I remember Beauty and the Beast, the ballroom scene.
Yes.
That was amazing as well from an animation standpoint. But yeah, The Little Mermaid and Aladdin would be the two biggest ones that I remember. But I was probably getting to the point where I was at the end of the point where I would want to watch those movies.
Right.
So I'm just a little bit older than you guys, like a lot older.
You know, it's interesting because, like, for me, I try when I think about this to pull myself up out from Dad Steven and think about, like, if I didn't have a child, would I still be interested? And I do think for the nostalgia reason, I probably would be interested on a home release at some point. But at the root of it, I think that I would also be poo-pooing on it a little bit more than the idea of me having my kid, like, bringing this in and having this shared experience with my kid. Like, I do think if I didn't have a child, I would probably be poo-pooing on it more.
I don't want to steal any of Chris's thunder. So, Chris, if I speak out of turn here, please shut me up and continue on with your news. But if you hadn't heard, Captain Marvel, another Disney property, just topped $1 billion worldwide. $1 billion
wow.
worldwide. Yep.
That boycott's really working out, isn't it, man babies?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So let's take a look at the top movies, both the Marvel Cinematic Universe and like the top movies all time. Number four, top movie all time, Avengers Infinity War, coming in worldwide at $2.048 billion. These numbers are valid via Box Office Mojo as of the day that we are recording, the 22nd of April, 2019. That's Infinity War. That's just, guys, we've got the big one, Endgame, coming up in just 2 days. I mean, it's premiering tonight, I think. But Thursday night, we're recording on Monday night. It's going to get $2 billion. They've already got $1 billion in the bank.
And remember how many pre-sales for this are bigger than Captain Marvel and Infinity War combined, I think is what I had read somewhere. So the pre-sale numbers are through the roof for Endgame.
Right. So Avatar is the number one worldwide at $2.7 billion, and that was in 2009. Titanic is number two in the box office at $2.1 billion in 1997, although it was re-released into the theater a couple of times to get it over $2 billion. Star Wars The Force Awakens from 2015, $2.068 billion. Guess what else Disney has coming out this year? So it's going to count on 2019 box office. Yes, Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. I mean, guys, Disney is like taking all the money this year.
Not all. I'm literally looking at a $5 bill that they haven't taken yet.
Well, don't show it to them. They're going to take it away.
That's only worth like $1.50 American.
Not to mention X-Men's coming out, which is technically now a Disney property because the sale has been completed. That's next month or June, right? So they've got box office smash after box office smash after box office smash coming out in 2019.
Friendly quarter bet, X-Men is not going to be a box office smash.
No, but it's going to make the money that it took to actually make the movie.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm willing to be proven wrong here, but it's projected like a $50 million opening weekend, which is projected to be the lowest of the X-Men movies right now.
Okay, well, it's the end of the first class verse. It's the end of the Fox mutant verse, so yeah. Okay. But still, that's still $50 million. God, wow. They need something to make all that money that they spent getting Fox, 21st Century Fox, right? True. So, yeah, it's going to be a big box office year for Disney. I can't wait for... It'll be a big story come December, how much Disney has actually made. So, we're in the throes of it now. They've already... What are the other Disney movies that have come out this year already? There's been a couple, right?
Dumbo, which flopped.
Oh, okay.
There's probably other stuff I'm not thinking of. I can get to the Google machine.
Yeah, I was thinking some...
My kids went to see Dumbo with my wife and my mother-in-law. Yeah, I didn't go. I totally went to Captain Marvel instead. And
smart.
I know, dad of the year. And apparently for my youngest and a little bit of my oldest, it was a lot of talking, and apparently it didn't land that great with the kid factor. So Lion King, though, it sounds like they're sticking pretty close to the way the classic Lion King is.
Well, you kind of have to take some stuff out of Dumbo because it wouldn't translate to the modern day very well. You don't want a drunk elephant stumbling around on screen. Let's be honest.
I don't know. It works for SP every week on this show.
So I was having a conversation with somebody who had watched Star Wars, a Star Wars story, and was trying to compare it in the Marvel, the 21 movies that are out right now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe under the Marvel banner. So it's Disney. And they were trying to say that Star Wars, Solo, a Star Wars story, actually performed better than about half the Marvel movies out there. So I'm like, okay, so what did Solo, a Star Wars story, bring in domestic? $213 million. It's not shabby. It's not bad. They made the money back that they actually cost to make the movie. So $213 million. So then I go over to the list of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, expecting it to be like in the middle. So The lowest one was The Incredible Hulk at 134.8 million. Then Captain America, The First Avenger at 176 million. Ant-Man at 180 million. We're getting close. Thor at 181 million. Thor, The Dark World at 206 million. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp at 216 million. So it is only better than five of the movies. So it's not middle of the pack. It's five of the movies. And that's why a lot of people say Solo Star Wars story flopped. Is it didn't do as good as a lot of those Marvel movies. But anyway, I digress.
Well, has it done as good as we've done for this show? Because I heard that we've made tons of money.
I'm a box office draw. Everybody comes to see me. I'm like the Robert Downey Jr. of podcasting, guys.
You're just like Robert Downey Jr. Like, you know, the mental image of me that I or of you that I have in my head when I'm falling asleep every night, every single night.
Steven, I'm better because I'm the Green Ranger of podcasting.
Well, moving on to the next news point here, hard left turn here. We're going to talk a little bit about a story that we've previously talked about in the past, kind of, sort of. Well, this is because there was a cybersecurity expert who has pled guilty to creating malware. And you're like, what? Cybersecurity expert? Yes. There was a Marcus Hutchins, which you will get to in a little minute. He ended up pleading guilty to creating some malware. And this came because he was arrested on U.S. soil. Now, the interesting thing about this whole arrest was that he was the guy that was responsible for finding the hole, the flaw, within the WannaCry ransomware that hit the internet back, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think it was, in 2017. I don't know if you remember that. We talked about it on this show here. There was this ransomware that spread very, very quickly in May of 2017, and the initial outbreak lasted about 4 days and affected over 300,000 computers worldwide. But the reason that it was stopped so quickly was because one individual found that there was a kill switch built into this malware that essentially incorporated a domain name, and he was able to go and register the domain name, thus activating the kill switch. Turned out that it was this Marcus Hutchins who also went by the pen name Malware Tech or Malware Tech Blog. Now, what happened, how we get to the arrest here, was he was actually invited in August of 2017 to a hacker fest in Vegas. I forget what the name of it was, but one of those, you know, you get a bunch of hackers together sort of thing. And as he was about to board his flight back home to England, he was arrested. And this was because of a federal investigation that did end up finding out that he was responsible for a banking Trojan called Kronos, and that stole usernames and passwords from online banking sites. It was quite the big ordeal, and he was behind this. He actually has been quoted as saying, "As you may be aware, I've pleaded guilty to two charges related to writing malware in the years prior to my career in security. I regret these actions and accept full responsibility for my mistakes. Having grown up, I've since been using the same skills that I misused several years ago for constructive purposes. I will continue to devote my time to keeping people safe from malware attacks." And he does apparently face up to 10 years in prison, but could possibly receive a more lenient sentence because he's accepted the responsibility and obviously has proven that he's working for the greater good. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this, because we did talk about this. When this WannaCry malware ransomware came out, it was a very, very big deal. But the real big deal was the fact that that kill switch was found so quickly, which now turns out to be this guy. And I got to say, it's nice to see people turning a new leaf, such as him, you know, putting his hacker skills to good. But you also got to consider the fact that probably made some money off of the previous malware, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this in the future.
A lot of hackers have a lot of different colored hats, whether it's black hat, white hat, gray hat, red hat, whatever. Usually to obtain the skills that they're using, they usually do something nefarious at some point in time. So it's just part of the hacking culture nowadays. There are hacking conferences that you can go to. I've never been to one, but you can go to, and the legitimate people are there as well as the nefarious people, and they all learn how to hack together.
Chris Farrell, as our resident expert on hacker experts, I don't know why I called you that. What's your thoughts on this?
I choose to exercise my Fifth Amendment rights. No, just kidding.
Like, I don't, this is a Canadian hosted show. I'm not sure that that's applicable.
No, I can't. I mean, it's like SP said, hackers wear all sorts of different hats. It should not surprise anyone.
I just found this interesting because I remember still distinctly that whole kill switch thing that was in WannaCry. And I think it's just interesting that it turned out to be this guy. I am glad, though, that he is owning up and accepting the responsibility. It's interesting to me, though, that he ended up apparently coming doing the hacker event. Okay, he did that. And then he stuck around to do more touristy things. And while he was going back after those touristy things in Vegas, that's when he was arrested. So had he not done the touristy things, might not have gotten arrested.
This time, eventually they would have caught up with him.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of catching up with yourself, I heard that you were able to catch up with some rockets today.
I did. There's a few rocket stories out there. We're going to focus on one.
By the way, I'm going to stop right now and just say, like, I know that that was the world's worst segue before people write their hate mail to JS. I'll just say it right now. Terrible segue.
JS@GunnaGeek.com. That's the email to send it to. Yep. He does still get the email. So if you send him hate mail, he loves to read them, and he reads them to us. He actually sends us audio. We'll have to play him on the podcast at some point in time. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, SpaceX launched another Falcon Heavy rocket, and there was some interesting things that happened with it. So we're going to discuss it. So I got my main information from an article on space.com by Mike Wall, who's the lead editor of space.com. And I also checked into other sources. There's a few things that I'm following up on here. So on a future show, I might actually follow up on this story. But for now, let's talk about this one. Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, successfully landed all three first stages of its Falcon Heavy mega rocket on Thursday, April 11, 2019, during the huge launcher's first commercial mission. Two of these boosters came back on land, and one, the central core, the bigger one, touched down on a drone ship in the Atlantic Ocean off the Florida coast. Unfortunately, the central booster did not complete its homeward journey intact. Although it was not the booster's fault, rough seas claimed the first stage during the drone ship's voyage back to shore, SpaceX said in a press release on April 15th. Quote, over the weekend, due to rough sea conditions, SpaceX's recovery team was unable to secure the central core booster for its return trip to Port Canaveral. As conditions worsened with 8 to 10 foot swells, the booster began to shift and ultimately was unable to remain upright. While we had hoped to bring the booster back intact, the safety of our team always takes precedence. We do not expect future missions to be impacted, unquote. SpaceX, in the meantime, also recovered both halves of the Heavy's payload fairing during Thursday's mission, securing hardware that costs $6 million. The company plans to reuse the fairing and the two side boosters that touched down on Terra Firma that day. There is no news, and this is what I want to follow up on how those fairing pieces were recovered. Because as you remember, they had that ship that was going around with that big net that was supposed to catch it. I don't think that's how they recovered the fairing. I think it actually fell in the ocean and they recovered it that way. But I will see for sure. They might have actually caught it. And they just didn't tell anybody in this press release. There has not been another press release on this. This is a big success, guys. They recovered the three core boosters off the Falcon Heavy.
That's awesome. But, you know, when I saw someone, I actually have this group chat that has a couple of people in it. Most of them are podcasters. And one guy was super excited about this. And then another guy was just like coming in and was all negative. He was bursting his bubble. He was like, oh, yeah, but they sure failed in this regard. So it was like, yeah, I think it's great that you're highlighting the successes. And here we're just celebrating the successes rather than looking at the negative side of the coin. So great job, SP. Thanks for bringing the positivity.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, when you're talking about the economics of the situation, of course, you do want to actually recover all three boosters. In this case, they just didn't have one. There's no news on what exactly failed, because they have had rough seas before with the boosters and they've been able to secure them. So I'm not sure what went wrong with this time. Also, they did have a failure over the weekend, and I will be talking about that in the future. The crewed Dragon capsule, which was the same capsule that went up to the International Space Station a couple of weeks ago, it was on top of a booster and it was undergoing tests to test the to ultimately lead up to a live test of the recovery and abort stage. Remember when we talked about the Soyuz recovery system that was implemented late last year during the launch? They are making another one for this, and Boeing is making another one for its capsule as well. Well, they were testing it on the launch pad, getting ready for the active test, and something went wrong. I have no idea what went wrong at this point. They're not saying. They are investigating it at the moment, which is probably why they're not saying anything. But there were several photos of Kennedy Space Center, and the whole pad was just enveloped in smoke. That doesn't mean that it went up in flames, but the whole pad was enveloped in smoke. So I'm not sure what went wrong, what went right. We'll get to that in the future, but there is safety concerns about the Crew Dragon at this point.
Wow, you sure took that positive moment and turned it into a negative. Wow.
Safety first when it comes to human spaceflight.
That's fair. I can't argue with that. Moving on to our extra section here. This is something that we're going to probably end talking about, a betting pool that I think someone's going to start. Maybe Suncast. I think that's what he said. This is all about YouTube and Fire TV. Yes, we've talked about it in the past before that, there's been a bit of a shaky history between Google and Amazon. For those of you that don't know, Google owns YouTube. Amazon owns like Fire Sticks and a whole bunch of other things, including their own Prime Video service. Well, because of some issues with them not wanting to compete in the each other's market sort of thing, they have not had a very nice relationship between their devices. If you wanted to have YouTube on your Amazon Fire TVs, you had to use a workaround because the app was essentially discontinued a while back. So you had to use some workarounds to get YouTube on there, like the actual web player. Same thing goes with, I think, the Echo Show didn't have it. And if you wanted to go ahead and watch Prime Video, you had to use something that wasn't a Chromecast, because trying to cast Prime Video onto the Google Chromecast did not work. Well, it looks like that's behind us, because this is going to be rolling out pretty soon. Apparently, yes, Fire TV will actually have a proper YouTube app on it soon. And furthermore, Prime Video will be able to be natively Chromecast to Chromecast. So this is all good news for that cross-pollination, which of course leads us to that bet that I mentioned at the beginning, which again, it's at Suncast with a K. I think he's responsible for this on Twitter. When's it going to fall apart? It's a matter of time.
When I'm thinking of this, I think in terms of the Amazon screen and the fact that Amazon has not made good with Google for YouTube. And I think everybody else is fine playing with each other, including Apple now, because they just realize that people get stuck in architectures. And if they get stuck in an architecture like Roku, then you have Prime Video, you have Netflix, you have all these apps available. So if you don't give your app available on your hardware or whatever hardware the person is using, then people aren't going to be using the service. And as people want other people to pay for services. They want their stuff available all over the place. So that's what these companies are banking on, is the fact that whatever they have to give up is less than the subscription money that's going to be coming their way soon.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy to see that it's finally getting patched over for now. Chris Farrell, I think you were actually the one that first told us when this app got pulled from Fire TV way back when.
Oh, yeah, it was blatantly anti-consumer back then, because the only people getting hurt in this dispute were people who had bought into that ecosystem and are like, oh, now I can't watch YouTube, or I can't access movies I bought through YouTube. There was the workaround of using what is the Silk browser, I think is what they call it, and either your Fire TV devices or your Fire tablets. And then the Echo Show also has the workaround of launching a browser to do things, but it's not the optimal experience. The interesting thing in all of this is, while you'll be able to use Chromecast to Amazon Prime Video, you'll be able to use the YouTube app and things like that, again, on your Fire tablets and Fire TV devices. From what I recall and from what I read, the Echo Show is still hobbled when it comes to YouTube videos. It will still be using its workaround of, when you tell it to play something on YouTube, launching a browser on that device versus having baked in YouTube. And my guess is it has something to do with advertising revenue, but I cannot guarantee that that's what the case is. Regardless, it's nice to see them playing well again, because as a consumer, I don't have to be like, okay, which device do I use in my TV to watch this content? Well, actually, I know the answer to that. It's my Roku or my Xbox right now. So my TV is Android TV. The only time I actually use the Android TV apps is when I wanted to play around with a VPN and Netflix and see what it could do for me, just because I was curious. And that worked fine, but 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go to whatever has all of my content. And for me, that's either my Roku or my Xbox, because that has every app on it that I want.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I think the person that really did get hurt by this was the consumer. I totally agree with you on that.
You brought up an interesting point with the show, I believe it is, the big screen kitchen device, mm-hmm. right? So I'm interested in seeing how many people are actually consuming video that way, because I don't think it's a lot. And that's why Google's like, I'm not going to give up something big to get on that screen, because I don't think a lot of people are watching stuff on that screen. And one of the anecdotes I say, I've got that little clock, the little video clock, Amazon device. What's that called? I want to say it's the show, but that's wrong.
Or whatever.
Spot. I've got the Spot. So I was just fooling around one day and I was like, okay, play The Martian, because I wanted to hear Martian song. So it started the Martian movie. So on that mm-hmm. little Spot screen, that little, I don't know, 3-inch screen, it was playing The Martian. I was like, oh my God, I can't see this.
You know, I heard that you shouldn't have the Spot in your bedroom, because then you can't find it. I went there. I do want to say that I actually had no idea, Chris Farrell, that you, yeah, it took Chris a second on that. Chris, I didn't know that it wasn't coming back to the show. I thought it was coming to the show. That sucks.
That is what I, now someone please feel free to fact check me. It's what I remember from reading during a 10-minute break at lunch the other day. So maybe I'm not remembering correctly. And if that's the case, feel free to tweet at me, email me or whatever, and tell me to eat crow on it. I will happily do so next week's episode.
You know, and it didn't occur to me, because they're both Amazon products, but it does make sense because they are different, right? Like they are sort of two different classes of Amazon products. So yeah, that's a good point. I never thought of that. That'll be interesting to see. However, with that said, it's also worth considering that I guess they both do end up integrating to your Alexa account. So, because they're both, oh,
you
shoot,
said
I said
it. You're in trouble.
But they do both show up in the account, right? So maybe they are closer tied than I thought. Oh, I don't know. You've got me wondering. Got me wondering, Chris Farrell. But let's go ahead and move on to our featured segment that we've got today, which is the final edition, I think, of Recasting Fox. Yes, this is something that we started a little while back, which was, I will say, entirely Chris Farrell's idea. I loved the idea. It's great. Because with the Disney acquisition being official, we thought, well, let's look at some of the classic geek Marvel properties that Fox previously retained the rights to, and think about who we would like to see cast in various famous roles when Disney does inevitably do the movie again. So this is just a fun little thought exercise that we thought we would have a little bit of fun, argue a bit, and just discuss some ideas on what it would be like if we were on the casting couch.
That's right. And this could be the last one. There's so many mutants in the X-Men universe that we could keep doing this forever. This is the last one as I'd had written out. I would not be shocked if we revisit this later down the line, because we're just barely scratching the surface when it comes to mutants in the X-Men universe. But Kevin Feige's kind of indicated we're 3 to 5 years away from an X-Men movie in the MCU. So we've got a lot of time to kick this around, get feedback, and come up with ideas of who we'd want to see in what roles. So guys, this is a lot of show content for us. So do me a favor, if there are things you want us to recast mutant-wise after this, tweet them to me, at TheChrisFarrell. We'll keep a running tally, and we'll do this segment every few months or so, or something like that, just with some suggestions and thoughts based off the feedback that you, our viewers / listeners, have for us. That being said, we do have 3 mutants to discuss this week. Why is it only 3? Because we keep debating amongst ourselves, so doing 3 is about all we can do anymore at this point in time.
And as I mentioned at the top of the show, in case you skipped over it, we are going to go through, and 2 weeks ago we had Suncast on here, and he was fantastic, played along, but he had some interesting picks that we're going to include, because he did have some for these ones that we're going to talk about today, and we'll make sure we save them for last so that you actually can pay attention to what else we're saying, because if we put them up first, you're just going to be laughing. Because he did an amazing job.
That is true. So let's kick things off. We're talking mutants this time. Let's start with Professor Charles Xavier, the leader / mentor of the X-Men. You might be familiar with previous actors that played him, such as Sir Patrick Stewart and James McAvoy, both fantastic actors in their own regard. So we've got some big shoes or wheels, I guess, to wheel into. I don't know.
Patrick Stewart, never heard, a new up and coming actor.
Jean-Luc Picard,
never heard of that man. No, never heard of that.
He was that weird guy in Dune.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay, I'm tracking now.
Yeah, there you go. So let's dig in. Let's come up with some possible thoughts of who we'd want to see in the role of Charles Xavier. I had 2 actors, and of course I went with people from the United Kingdom, because it's like, you've got to have that accent.
Fair enough. Not that people can't put on convincing accents, but let's continue.
Well, yes, just like Hugh Laurie did for how many years as Dr. Gregory House, very British man being American. It's possible to go the other way around. But the actors I had selected, let's talk first. You might know him currently as Bond. James Bond. I thought it'd be very interesting to see Daniel Craig in this role. I don't think he would ever do it, because he talks about how miserable he is doing the franchise of James Bond from time to time. I doubt he'd want to sign a deal to do multiple movies with Marvel / Disney to be Charles Xavier, but I think it would be interesting. He's not my number one pick, however. My number one pick is Obi-Wan Kenobi himself, Ewan McGregor. I think he is a fantastic actor. If you saw Ewan McGregor portray Sir Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels, you saw the quiet wisdom that he carried in that character, the man that can mentor Anakin Skywalker, who's going to have to mentor many different young mutants and teach them their powers. That was my number one pick, and I forgot I had a 3rd one on here. This one won't happen because he's already played a role in the MCU. Ben Kingsley. We know him as the Mandarin, but the dude has incredible range, and I think would be an interesting fit to play that Charles Xavier role. But my number one pick, Ewan McGregor. I want this to happen. I want Ewan McGregor in the MCU somewhere. He is a phenomenal actor.
I do want to say that I think that you were a little bit wrong with your first pick. I just think that he's too old, because we're going to assume they're going to go younger. Just because you see what
why would you assume that? You're in an established MCU universe. You might have to go older to compensate for the 10, 11 years and more now, because it's going to be like 13 or 14 before you see him on screen that the MCU has been around.
Exactly. And that's my reason why, is because if you look at what happened with Robert Downey Jr., he was basically the one responsible for killing the Iron Man series. And that was because of his age, largely cited. He was the one that said, nah, I don't want to do the series anymore. He was the one that basically declined. And it's because he's getting older. And why would you go ahead and start something that is looking 10, 15 years out with older people right now. And Daniel Craig, what is he, 50?
Daniel Craig is 51 and Ian McGregor's 48.
I know, exactly.
But if you're talking Charles Xavier, who's the leader and mentor, who is not necessarily going out in the field, but has helped establish the X-Men and is that is led by a team of, say, mid-20 to early 30-year-old actors, it would make sense age-wise.
I disagree, but I did follow your path, and with my picks, I did sort of go in the same age bracket, but I do want to say that. I think that it was a poor selection on your part. What? It was a poor selection on your part.
You're fired.
So you just shot yourself, Steven.
Well, okay, maybe I went slightly. I went slightly younger. Go ahead, though, Stargate Pioneer. Before we get to mine, you go ahead and share yours.
I could be the only one of the three of us that's actually watched all of Legion so far. Legion is this series of mutants that's on AMC, and it's been a phenomenon. It's very dark, which is weird for me to be watching something that dark, but it's been really well written. And in the third and final season, which will be airing, I believe, later this year, they actually cast Professor X as David's dad, and they cast it as Harry Lloyd. So Harry Lloyd will already have been playing Professor X. Now, I realize that you're talking TV to movie, whatever, but hey, why not? There's nothing that says it can't get be done.
Is Legion... Legion's not Marvel, though, is it? Isn't it Fox?
Fox TV still. I don't know if that was something they acquired in the acquisition. I have no idea.
But even so, the whole idea behind this is that we're assuming Fox will dump it, because I'll go ahead and say that James McAvoy can go ahead and keep playing if we're gonna play the it's okay to have a Fox person game.
Well, here's the problem if you want McAvoy, is that the only way those guys keep working together is if they're all on board. That's what happened with this one. So it still had to be Jennifer Lawrence, McAvoy, Fassbender, and who's the guy who plays Beast? Nicholas Holt or something like that?
Right.
They were a package deal.
This solves your younger person. It is somebody that is already known. And I mean, yeah, this is something that could happen. I'm not saying it should. I'm saying something that could. And
you could also be cast.
You could be. Professor X?
You could be.
Well, you know, Marvel, if you want to cast me as Professor X, I don't have a English accent in my bones, but if you want to Americanize Professor X, I'd be all for it. I'll be bald soon enough.
All right. I do appreciate the logic, though. The next one, though, that you've got, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Mark Strong. Mark Strong was in Green Lantern, you know, that was good. But really, his performance that would sell me on Professor X would not necessarily be Green Lantern. It would be Kingsman, because he's just awesome in Kingsman. If you haven't seen Kingsman yet, go ahead, watch it. Mark Strong is a great actor, and I think he could pull off Professor X really well. And even though he's older, he does look a lot younger. And then my third pick, by the way, that I just threw in the document, since you were talking about people with accents, I think Andrew Lincoln, who I have not been able to find a bald picture of, but Andrew Lincoln could also pull off Professor X.
We might have to come back with that discussion in a moment. We'll come back in a moment on that one there. In my picks, I've got a couple of weird ones here that people are going to go, what? And first one is Ben McKenzie. I'll go ahead and throw that one out there. He plays James Gordon on Gotham. Yes, we would need the accent. I totally agree. You need a convincing accent. That is very important. The reason I actually put this in there was because I think it's worth considering that Charles Xavier is not a one-note character. He's really not. He's a very dynamic character, and I do think that seeing the way that Ben McKenzie's played James Gordon sort of evolve over the history that we've seen in Gotham, you know, he's gone from like this sort of upbeat, like, we can get it done type cop to, oh wait, this is Gotham, you know, Gotham sucks sort of thing. Like, he's got a pretty good resume. I'd have to see him bald, though, of course. And of course, the accent. The next one that I have here actually came to mind because I think he could do it. I think he could do it, and it's Simon Pegg. Now, we've had Simon Pegg, he generally doing more upbeat stuff, but he recently said that he wants to start doing less funny stuff. He wants to do more serious stuff. And I'd be interested to see him try to tackle this. I think it'd be interesting to see.
That is not the X-Men role I'd be going with for Simon Pegg, I don't think.
Well, because he says that he wants to get away from the comedy type of stuff. He says that he wants to expand his resume. So I think that he's probably not going to take the role that you're picturing him in. Which one would you throw him in anyways?
I don't know off the top of my head right now, but...
He's older, too. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because I'd throw him in as somebody like Iceman or something like that, but he's too old for that character at this point.
And my third pick, I'll just throw it out there with it with he on it, and it's Tom Hardy. You find the connection.
I like Ben McKenzie, just for the record.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. The Tom Hardy, by the way, was totally just because of the whole, what was that? Was that Nemesis? Which one was that? Which was that he played a Picard clone? I'm not serious about that, by the way.
Was it Nemesis?
Yep. I just had to.
It was the last film.
Yeah. I had to mention it for that reason. All right. SP, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with Magneto here?
Right. So the first one that I chose was Ralph. And guys, help me with the last name. I can never pronounce his last name right. Is it Fiennes?
Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes. So I think he'd do a great Magneto again, probably too old for the role, but he would be great in the helmet. And then I chose, this would be a good one for Daniel Craig, because he's got the look for it already, and he's got the mannerisms and the mentality and everything. So Daniel Craig would be good, as well as Ralph Fiennes. So those are my two picks for Magneto.
It's good. Chris Farrell, how about yours?
Well, so I also said Ralph Fiennes, who you might know as Lord Voldemort. Just like SP had mentioned, he's also M in the current run of James Bond movies. Took over for Dame Judi Dench's character when she was killed. So that was one of my thoughts. The other one I had, just because this guy is super method, and I think he's a good actor, I thought Andrew Lincoln could be interesting to have here as Magneto, because it gives him a chance to play the character with gravitas, but also slightly unhinged at times when he becomes less rational. I just think it'd be interesting. We've seen him pull off Rick Grimes being crazy, but still sympathetic, and you kind of understand where he's coming from, which is kind of what you need with Magneto. He's the enemy, but at the same time, you do feel a bit sympathetic for his plight and understand where he's coming from time to time. So Andrew Lincoln, I think, would be an interesting pick.
All right. For my picks here, what I had was, first off, I'll go ahead and say Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think I would like to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because Magneto's got a certain charisma to him, how he operates. And we've seen that. We've seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan do a couple of different sort of roles. And, you know, even actually on the most, you're shaking your head no, but if you think about like what he's done, like he has had a dark sort of role. He has had a more positive role. Like he's been all over the place, like in his acting history. So I do think that he would be able to fit into Magneto. And I will use my second pick to say that I actually agree more with SP, that Daniel Craig would be better with Magneto. And I will use my third pick to say that I believe that Andrew Lincoln would be a better not in this role.
Man, I think Suncast's pick for Magneto is better than your Jeffrey Dean Morgan one.
Wow.
Ooh, I don't know about that, but okay. Okay.
I just don't think it's the right role for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan is awesome, but I don't think Magneto is the right role for him.
Well, this coming from the guy who said Daniel Craig should be Charles Xavier. So
yes, because I thought it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Suncast pick was Marvin the Martian.
Oh,
Magneto. Because they both have awesome helmets. It makes sense. Think of Marvin's helmet and Magneto's helmet. He's on the right path here.
I was gonna do Suncast at the end, but let's just go ahead and backfill him. Go ahead and backfill him right now. Backfill him on the other.
So Suncast picks for Charles Xavier were Spike the Bulldog from Tom and Jerry and Elmer Fudd. And Elmer Fudd as Xavier would be hilarious in like a Mad Magazine style kind of parody. I will give him that.
Hell of a lot better than Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Woo! Shots fired, man. Why are you so salty?
I agree with Steven on this. Ella Fudd would make a good Xavier, better than Daniel Craig.
Oh, wow. All right. And what was his second pick that he had for Magneto? Didn't he have another one there? No, he didn't. All right. I'll move on. All right. And the last one that we've got here is going to be a hard one for, I want to say, it's going to be a hard one to recast. And it would have been even if the rights were still with Fox. And this is Wolverine, because let's be honest, Hugh Jackman has rocked it. Like, he has done such a good job. This is a really hard one. And I suspect that none of ours will be anywhere near close, because I think they're going to go pretty outside the box when they do decide to recast Wolverine.
But I agree.
It's a fun exercise. Chris Farrell, kick us off.
So we're talking Wolverine, portrayed in all of the movies by... Oh, holy crap, I had a brain fart there.
I said Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Good Lord, what happened to me right there?
Dude.
Wow.
This is a point that I'd usually, just so you know, those of you who listen and watch afterwards and don't watch us live, this is a point that usually I would say, Chris, take that again so I can edit that out. But I'm not going to. I am not going to. That's staying in.
Leave it in.
What happened right there? Man, cut a corner off my nerd card or whatever. I lost nerd cred right there. I apologize.
You're losing a lot since you're getting married in a couple of weeks. So, yeah.
What does that lose? We're going to Universal for our honeymoon. That's pretty high nerd cred.
I don't know. You'll find out later when you get married.
Continue.
Right. So let's talk possible actors to take on Hugh Jackman's role as Wolverine. I struggled with this one. I struggled a lot. I have two names. I like one slightly more than the other, but I don't know that either of them are going to happen. The first one I went with was Charlie Hunnam. You might know it was Jax Teller from Sons of Anarchy. He was also one of the lead characters in the first, what is the Guillermo del Toro movie with the kaiju monsters? Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
He was also one of the male lead actors in that. He's got interesting range. He's closer to the actual build of what you need Wolverine to be. That being said, I don't think it really matters, because Hugh Jackman's what, like 6'3", and he's playing Wolverine when Wolverine's supposed to be 5'3". So I don't think height really matters or anything like that. But he's a good actor. And if you've seen his portrayal of Jax, who goes from tortured bad guy to tortured good guy to always wanting to do right by his family, but not always making the right choices to do it, kind of fits with what you'd see as Wolverine. My other choice, this guy's going to be out of a job after, 15 years on the job? Jensen Ackles, who you might know from Supernatural. He also had a one-season run in Smallville. I think he'd be interesting in the role. He's got the gruff persona he can portray it as, and I think he's got an interesting voice to be able to pull off the Logan growly voice, for lack of a better term. I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on either of these. I have no idea who to do Wolverine as. Those are just the two names that came to mind.
Yeah, it is a tough one. I agree. It is a tough one. SP, let's go ahead and talk about yours. And I think it's important that you also, while you say your first pick, you describe the picture that you have provided to us here in our private internal doc, because nobody's going to be able to see it on the audio side of things. I might try to get a setup for the video viewer, but we'll see.
Right. Well, the first one, I was thinking, who is experienced in playing a lot of characters out there, good and bad, that has a lot of range, that's been in a lot of blockbusters, that could really come in and do the character justice after Hugh Jackman has done the character for so well for so long? And I went with the one, the only, and really the only actor that we have depicted as a dummy in the doc here, Matt Damon. So the picture, of course, with Matt Damon, there is a picture of Matt Damon, but it's side by side with his puppet from Team America Vision as well.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead right now and say that it's an interesting choice, but I personally think that it would have to be the puppet version. I think without the puppet version, you're just out in left field.
So you need someone whose mutant power is to turn someone into puppets, like they did in episode of Angel, and then you could do it.
Exactly.
Why not? I think it'd be great.
I like it.
Yeah. Actually, my next pick is someone that I really think could pull it off, and I don't think it's somebody that either of you two knows, because unless you've watched Vikings on history, you do not know who Travis Fimmel is, and he would be amazing as Wolverine. Maybe a little bit old, but he could pull it off better than probably anybody out there. So Travis would be my pick for Wolverine.
It's an interesting pick. I've seen him a few times, vaguely familiar with him, but I'm looking at a picture of him and I could visualize it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the look for it.
Yeah, not only does he have the look, but he's got the acting chops for it. He's really a class A actor. He's been very sought after his role on the Vikings on the History Channel. It kind of ended, although he does come back from time to time for, you know, I don't know if you want to call it time dilation or visions or whatever, but he does an amazing job on everything that I've seen him in. And then, of course, this pick, it was everywhere on the internet, so I thought I might as well mention it. Matter of fact, he mentioned it in joking, in jest, but we have to talk about it. Daniel Radcliffe.
Wait, this was a joke?
Yeah, he did. He was on a panel at some convention or something, and they were talking about, I think somebody asked him, so if you were going to be in the Marvel Universe or whatever, who would you be? And he jokingly said, I'll be Wolverine. I could do it. But it was just a joke. He was like, Hugh's doing such a great job, I could never fill in for you.
I thought you were serious about this, and I was very much scratching my head. I literally was looking at this as I was making dinner tonight going, how? What? So, okay, thank you for the context on it.
There are people that think he could pull off a Wolverine, by the way, and largely probably his own fanboys, but I think, you know, but the picture that you're showing, it does kind of look like he could pull off the look, at least in the face. I have no idea how built he is.
Well, I guess we will see if that leads somewhere. My guess is it doesn't.
My guess is it doesn't too, and the reason why it won't, because the biggest detractor I've heard about him is they don't want somebody that's already highlighted their own huge franchise to come into Marvel to be a main character.
I can say that. In my picks here that I had two. First was Manu Bennett. You might know him as Slade Wilson from Arrow. I think that he would do a pretty good justice. I think that he's got quite the action portfolio in him, and I think he could really get in touch with that inner Wolverine. Plus, you know, Wolverine's from Alberta. A lot of Arrow was shot in Vancouver. It's just a stone's throw away, right? My whole explanation behind it. No, I do think, though, he would do a great job. And then my other one was one that I was very sad that I didn't get a chance to rip into you guys for, because you talked about him last week or 2 weeks ago while you're talking about someone else. And if you're going to mention Keanu Reeves, it was definitely Wolverine. Wolverine was the role for Keanu Reeves if you're going to throw him into any of these. And it's just because, you know, he's pretty much turned badass in recent flicks. And I think he'd do a great job. I think that Keanu Reeves would be for Wolverine if you were going to throw Keanu Reeves in any of these. With that said, I don't think that he should be in any of these picks. And I think you were misguided to put him in your picks 2 weeks ago.
Wow, tell us how you really feel, Steve. Jeez.
Did somebody kill your dog?
Wow. That was dark. That was dark.
You don't get the reference, do you?
No, I don't. I know.
Okay, I
kind of seen those movies.
What movies? Yeah. What movies are you talking about?
The movies that would show him clearly as Wolverine.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Of course you're not.
What are you talking about?
I don't know if he's messing with us or if he's being true here.
I'm messing with you.
He should know the meme, at least.
Yeah. I really don't. Like, I put him in here because you mentioned Keanu Reeves 2 weeks ago, but I really don't want to see him anywhere near any of these properties. I think that he'd be terrible. Like, I think he'd be horrible in any of these roles. I really do.
You know, he turned down an MCU role to do John Wick 3, right?
I know. And it's good.
It's coming. He's coming to the MCU.
It sucks. I don't see him.
Whoa, time out. So he could do a one and done villain. There has been a lot of one and done villains in the MCU. He could do a one and done villain.
I guess if you're going to shove him in a one and done.
I mean, go back to the original Iron Man. It would be awesome to have him in the rest of the 20 movies, but we don't, because he was the first villain, right? Talking about Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
The dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I put him here because Chris mentioned him, and I do think if you're going to, I think Wolverine would be the best pick. But I see him almost taking away from the fandom, but just taking away from what they've built because he's Keanu Reeves. I don't know. I just don't see him. A terrible explanation. Chris Farrell.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I secretly don't like Keanu Reeves, I think. I think that's what it comes down to.
Man, he's like one of the nicest dudes ever.
Oh, apparently. And that is a red flag in itself.
What? He was nice.
Who?
Jackman.
Oh, I thought you said Q. I was like, what the hell is Q?
Is it John DeLancey?
No. John DeLancey's just fun to be around.
Okay, I'm glad you specified that because Chris and I heard Q. But if you think that we were completely wrong with any of these picks, or if you think I should have shut up about 10 minutes ago, or, 3-4 years ago, please get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can go ahead on over to GunnaGeek.com. You can tweet us at GunnaGeek, or if you really want, leave us a voicemail at 567-343-GEEK. That's 567-343-4335. We'd love to play it in a future show. We're not talking about a future show. We're talking about a future show. But please leave us a voicemail so that we can do that. Before we go, Chris Farrell, do you have anything that you would like to plug or promote? Maybe Keanu Reeves. You seem pretty obsessed with him.
Dude, he's one of the nicest guys in Hollywood, and he's been in a bunch of franchises that are awesome.
I don't understand
the hate, Steven. Yeah, I just don't get it.
The Keanu Reeves hate, that's, wow. You're going to take a lot of heat for that one.
I can say that. I'm Canadian.
So is he.
Exactly. That's why I can say it.
You're a self-hating Canadian.
William Shatner is going to come after you for that.
Oh, don't get me started on the Shat. Chris Farrell, go ahead.
So friendly reminder, the Gunna Geek Show is obviously part of the Gunna Geek Network. There's a lot of stuff that streams live on there. So if you're on geeks.live right now, scroll down to the bottom of the page. Keep listening to me while you do that. You can see a calendar of all of the upcoming live events. Please, please swing on by, check out one of the other live events and tell them that we sent you.
Stargate Pioneer, anything that you want to plug or promote?
This is a little small indie film that's going to be coming out on Thursday. You guys, I don't know if you've heard about it or not. It's with some actors that took some pay cuts in order to do it. It's called Avengers Endgame, and it's going to end the Marvel Universe as we know it since 2008, so 11 years and 24 movies or something like that. And we'll be talking about it on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if you have something to say about Avengers Endgame, please get a hold of us, and we will go ahead and talk about it on our show on Sunday, which will be about 6:15 p.m. Eastern time at geeks.live.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for this show. For episode 284 of the official GunnaGeek.com show, I'm Stephen John Drew saying you should check out Chris Farrell's new podcast, Keanu Reeves Weekly. Whoa, man.
I'm Chris Farrell, and I'm not an irrational Keanu hater.
Seriously, The Matrix could have been just as good without him, if not better.
What?
Bye.
Dude.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or a thumbs up on YouTube. You can always join us for our live recording sessions, which stream Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. And remember, you can find our full back catalog at gunnageek.com/show. If you are itching for more geeky content, check out other shows on gunnageeknetwork.com. Voice work was by Emily Prokop of the Story Behind podcast. That's it for this episode. We hope to see you back again next week.